I want to talk to you about justification today and the difference that it makes. Justification. Romans 5, verses 1 through 11. Getting to read in verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we just pray, Lord, that you will unfold your word to us today, that as we open our hearts and our minds, that you would make them fruitful to receive from you what you would have us to receive from this word. Put a watch on my mouth, Lord, as I bring this word, and make it that I only speak the words you ordain for this morning, not a word more or a word less, and all to your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. It's good timing to preach this message on the week that we have communion, because this, as I was reading through our text, you had to pick up on the fact that there's a lot about what we're celebrating when we partake of communion in this passage and throughout this message. So, in the first four chapters of Romans, Paul talks about justification. Beginning with chapter 5, he presents some of the results of justification. He begins chapter 5 with the word therefore, which means what I'm saying now depends on what has been said. There are many ideas and concepts written in our text. Every sentence could be a sermon in itself. At the very least, there are three different differences justification makes. First, let's look at what Holman's Illustrated Bible Dictionary says justification is. There we go. A divine, forensic act of God based on the work of Christ upon the cross, whereby a sinner is pronounced righteous by the imputation of the righteousness of Christ. The doctrine of justification is developed most fully by the Apostle Paul as the central truth explaining how both Jew and Gentile can be made right before God on the exact same basis, that being faith in Jesus Christ. Without this divine truth, there can be no unity in the body of Christ. Hence, its centrality to Paul's theology of the church and salvation. Okay, so we are not in fellowship with people or churches that do not adhere to the doctrine that is just laid out by Holman Bible Dictionary as a definition of justification. Let me explain just one example. Over 20 years ago, the head presbytery of the Presbyterian Church USA declared that they could no longer state that Jesus Christ was the only way to heaven. Therefore, we have no fellowship with them, churches or that denomination, because we have no fellowship with them because they are not doctrinally sound. Are you with me?
Yes.
And that's a really big deal, because the Presbyterian USA Church is connected to the Reformed Churches of America. The whole thing about being unequally yoked, it's a problem. And most people don't even know that they're yoked together. They share seminaries. And the seminaries have liberal professors that do not adhere to the doctrine that is laid out right here that we just heard. And there is no fellowship between that and clear doctrine. Okay? Now, I might have told you a couple things here that you didn't know. I hope so. I try to bring information that you might know, some fresh revelation to you. But that's just one example. Denominations have been toppling one after another. The Presbyterian Church is the first example, but also the United Methodist Churches. That denomination is absolutely off the rails, and thank God there are a bunch of the churches that have sense enough to defect from it and separate themselves from that doctrine. Praise God, we need to be praying for them. Fenton Methodist Church was one of them that defected, and I'm proud of them, and I was able to help them a little bit, went out there and talked with them, because they didn't know what to do when they left the denomination. They didn't know what to do. Well, I have experience with planting a church, obviously. Here we are. And so I had some wisdom to offer them. So I went out one night for their invite and spent a couple of hours talking with them and explaining their options to them. And they're actually doing well. They have a new name, and they have completely departed from that false doctrine that the United Methodist Church has fallen into. So, justification. The first big idea is it brings peace with God. We see that in verse 1 of our text. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Before we were saved, we were at enmity with God. Before I came to the place that I came to the end of myself, I was, according to Scripture, at enmity with God. We all are until we surrender ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ and invite Him to come into our lives as we lay it down and be our Lord and be our Savior from that day forward. I want to look at it. By the way, we're going to be doing sword drills. Isaiah 53, verse 5 says, "But He was pierced for our transgressions, He was crushed for our iniquity." He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. He took the punishment on Himself that we deserved and made available to us what he deserved. That is amazing. We have a lot to be thankful for. We have a reason to praise God every opportunity we have. Next verse, Acts 10, verse 36. Acts 10, verse 36. Says, you know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. So there it is. We have peace through him with our Father in heaven. Next scriptures are Ephesians 2, verses 14 through 18. Ephesians 2, verses 14 through 18. There are different latitudes of peace. We have peace with God through Jesus Christ, but also through the infilling of the Holy Spirit as a result of receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we can have peace no matter what trials we are going through. So there's the peace that's restored between us and God, but then there's the peace that's available to us through the Holy Spirit, that whatever trials we are going through, it's possible for us to maintain our peace if we just stay in that right relationship and don't freak out. I'm tempted to get a t-shirt made up, and my daughter does it for a job, so I can get her to do it. That says, my peace is in Jesus. There used to be shirts years ago that said, Jesus equals peace. Those were good too. They're a little outdated. Mine are wore out. They're not even in the closet anymore. Okay. Ephesians 2, 14 through 18. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. He has destroyed the barrier that was between us and God because of our sinfulness. By abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations, his purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. And in this one body, to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Who's both? The Jew and the Gentile. In Jesus Christ, there is no difference. In Jesus, there is no difference. We have the same benefits because we have been adopted through Jesus Christ, through faith in him. And we enjoy the same benefits of salvation that the Jews do. Praise God. Next verse is Colossians 1, 19 and 20. Verses, I should say. Colossians 1, 19 and 20. It says, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, that being Jesus, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on a cross. So what we just celebrated, taking the Lord's Supper today. This is what we just celebrated. We should often remember and believe every day. Amen? So, we can see there's more scriptures I could have went, but that's enough for that major topic. It clearly, justification clearly brings peace with God. Second big idea is it brings hope, spiritual hope. Okay? Not hope that's just the idea that, oh, everything will work out okay. No, it's not that kind of hope we're talking about. We're talking about spiritual hope that is grounded and rooted in Jesus Christ. First scripture we want to look at under this heading is Romans 4, verse 18. Romans 4, verse 18. It says, against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed and so became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. He believed. They wavered a little, you know, along the way. But he still made the faith lineup, the list of the admirals of faith that are listed in Hebrews 11. He still made the cut. Okay? Romans 8, verse 24. Romans 8, verse 24. I love hearing those pages turn. And it says, for in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? Okay? So, we have hope in Christ because we know, just like he fulfilled all the prophecy when he was here, we know also the prophecy is going to be fulfilled about his return for his bride. Of which, if you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you are part of. Romans 15, verse 4. Romans 15, verse 4. I know I'm going kind of fast, but that clock's going fast today. Somehow we got behind a little bit. We'll make it. Okay, Romans 15, 4. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might too have hope. There's a formula there, guys. Did you catch that? There's a formula there to be able to hang on to this hope. Everything that was written in the past was written to teach us. We need to study the Word of God, guys. Okay? We need the Word of God, including the Old Testament. So if you've been running around telling everybody, well, I'm just a New Testament believer, get over it and start studying the Old Testament too. We need them both. God gave them both to us. So, that and then through the endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. When we hide the Word of God in our hearts on a regular basis, memorization is powerful. To memorize the Scriptures. Because guess what? When we need them, the Holy Spirit will bring them forth. We'll remember them. We'll quote them to ourselves. And we find strength and hope through that. Next one is 1 Peter 3, verse 15. I told you we were going to do sword drills. Let me hear the pages now. Beginning to read. But in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Did you get that? In our hearts set apart Christ as Lord. What's Lord? Lord means He's in charge. Lord means we're not running our own lives anymore. It means we've surrendered it to Christ and we're following after Him. We're striving to hear that still small voice that whispers in our hearts, this is the way, walk in it. So, but in your hearts be set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Are you prepared? When you leave here today, if someone walks up to you and says, I've been watching you, you don't know it, but I've been watching you for months, tell me what the foundation is for the hope that you have. What are you going to tell them? Will you have an answer? So be prepared to give an answer. Setting Christ apart as Lord. Next scripture, 1 John 3, verse 3. First John, the letter, not the gospel. First John 3 and verse 3. Says, everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. We have that hope because of the fact that that hope comes from a right relationship with our Savior. Then we purify ourselves. That's interesting, isn't it? See, when we have all of that in the right place in our hearts, it purifies us because we end up with the attitude of Christ. And that purifies us. It not only cleanses us through justification, but it cleanses our thoughts. Our thoughts then become more holy. I don't know about you, but if I'm not mindful of Christ and I haven't been in the Word for a while and some buttons get pushed just right, I can become pretty ungodly. Is anybody else with me? It happens quick, don't it? And then it's like, whoa, wait a minute. We realize, oh my God, I'm going off here. Time to rein it in. We haul in the reins. Maybe most of the time for me, it's my mouth. My tongue gets loose. Somebody with me? Don't leave me hanging now. Don't leave me alone. A couple other people have that problem. Third major point. It brings the assurance of God's love in Christ. The assurance of God's love in Christ. John 13, verse 1. That one's the gospel. John 13, verse 1. I think I hear thunder. Thank you, Jesus, for bringing rain in season and out of season. How about it? Things are getting too dusty, guys. My yard is brown. Okay, beginning to read. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for Him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved His own who were in the world, He now showed them the full extent of His love. Listen, guys, We are loved by Christ. Listen, he was abused. He took nails in his hands, or many figure it was right here, actually in the wrist, or it would have pulled through. And nails through his feet. Not 16 penny nails. Big ones. Apparently real big. But they weren't what held him to the cross. Nothing of this world had the power to hold him on that cross. The only thing that held him there was his love for you. That's the only thing that held him there, was his love for you and me. Gospel of John 15, verse 9. John 15, verse 9. It says, as the Father has loved me, Jesus is speaking, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Elsewhere it talks about how to remain in his love. He said, if you love me, you will obey what I say. There's our responsibility. You know, that'll preach. If you love me, you'll do what I say. When we're not doing what he said, then we're really not loving on him, are we? John 15, 12 and 13. Gospel of John 15, verses 12 and 13. It says, my commandment is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Next one is Romans 8, verse 35. And I was putting this together. I intentionally hounded down all the scripture because I wanted you to see how much there is about these three subpoints throughout the scriptures. I could have went further. I mean, there were a lot more. But I want to give you an idea how much there is said about this topic. Romans 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? By no means. By no means. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Second Corinthians 5, 14 and 15. Second Corinthians 5, 14 and 15. Good thing these are short scriptures. I'd be burning out any candles. But you don't like it when I talk fast. Oh. Hallelujah. Bring the rain, Lord. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all. For those who live should no longer live for themselves, there it is, but for him who died for them and was raised again. We're not supposed to be living for ourselves. That thing inside of us that makes us all the time in circumstances say to ourselves, well, what about me? What about me? Well, what about Jesus? And what about his leading? We profess him as Savior, but what about Lord? Truly Lord. Galatians 2, verse 20. We're almost there, guys. By golly, we're doing okay. Galatians 2, verse 20. We ought to be getting out of here and just in time for a downpour and all go out there and waddle around like a duck in the rain. Verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I love that passage. Absolutely love that passage. I no longer live because I am dead in Christ, but he lives in me. If you're a born-again believer, it's the same thing. Final scripture, 1 John, the letter, 3, verse 16. 1 John 3, verse 16. Beginning to read. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. There it is. That's the message. Justification. The differences it makes. I want to ask quickly, is there anyone here who has never professed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Maybe you professed him as Savior, but never understood about Lordship. Maybe today the light bulb turned on. It made sense. We looked at a lot of scripture. The Word of God confirms the Word of God. That's why I love to put a lot of scripture in my messages. Because God's Word teaches, man. Is there anyone here today, if that speaks to you, and you decide today is the day you want to make Him Lord of your life as well as Savior, I just invite you to come up here. I'll meet you down here, and I'll pray with you and agree with you that today you enter into that kind of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Is there anyone today? All right, let's all stand together. Father, we thank you for your word. We sure got in your word today, and I pray that your word is hidden in our hearts, that as we leave this place, we would not forget what we've heard and what we've seen today. That, Lord, we will walk in what we have learned today. That you will give us the recall as these words have been hidden in our hearts. And that, Lord, when we're called to give an account of the hope that we have in you, that, Lord God, we will be ready from this day forward. Lord, watch over us. Keep us safe. Lord, thank you for watching over Connor this week. When he was in an automobile accident, we just pray, Lord, in thanksgiving for you sparing him. And we just pray, Lord, and agree with him that you restore everything that accident has taken, including an automobile. We pray that you restore, Lord God. Now, Lord, as we leave, our eyes are on you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.